All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Invicta FC 52, a very intriguing fight set on March the 15th. The Invicta FC Strawweight Championship going to be on the line, and in the main event, we have Valeska Machado defending her title against Danny McCormack, and happy to have Danny on the show for the first time. How's your day going so far, Danny?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, everything's going good over here. It's a Saturday, so not too busy. I have all my training done and free for the rest of the day.
And I mean, there's many, you know, cool facets about this fight coming up here, but one of the big ones that I thought was cool, I saw this in an Instagram post you tossed up. You were saying this year my birthday will fall on the same night as my world title fight. Like, what were the feelings when, because it seemed like after the last fight you at least had an inkling you'd get a title shot, but what were the set of feelings realizing you'd be fighting for a world title on your birthday?
Yeah, so before the fight got announced, my manager said, you know, I'm confident you're going to get the title shot, and we can guess it's going to be roughly the middle of March. So we were kind of like preempting what was going to happen, and then after that phone call, I just got my calendar out and I was thinking, God, Wednesday in the middle of March is actually my birthday. And sure as hell, then 2 weeks later, it was confirmed that I was getting the title shot, and it was that date that I'd seen already. So, yeah, a bit of like twist of fate there. And it feels really cool to be waking up on your birthday on such a massive, like massive event for me. Probably one of the biggest days of my life is going to be the 15th of March this year. So if I win the title, I think it'll be a celebration of my title anniversary rather than my birthday going forward.
Yeah, I love that mentality with it. And it seems like there's a lot of, you know, cool facets even beyond that. Like, I was seeing, like, later in the post, you were talking about how you're going to be fighting someone who is coached by the same individual who coached the last individual you fought for a world title 6 years ago. Like, what do you think about that? That's kind of like a curious sort of, you know, life aligning itself in a, you know, clean sort of narrative kind of fashion almost. Like, what are your thoughts about those components I've just outlined?
Yeah, so at the last show, the last time I fought in Invicta, the coach of Valeska came up to me and I had forgotten who he was, and their gym is like in a Brazilian name, so I hadn't joined the dots at all. And just before I was about to fight, he came over and kind of in his broken English pointed to my scar on the top of my head, and he said, "I remember you. You were you fought Michelle in the final of the IMAS in 2017, something like that," he said. And he said I was her coach, and I remembered him then. And I was so surprised he coached Valeska as well. So yeah, we had a bit of a chat about the fight back then. And yeah, once Valeska won, I thought, oh, that's cool, I'll end up fighting him again. You know, he'll be preparing for me again, and I'll be preparing for their styles, just with a different girl this time. So yeah, there's a lot of like strange kind of goings on with this fight, twists of fate, and hopefully they all end up turning in my favor.
Yeah, a lot of very intriguing circumstance in a very big moment, and I would think that it would be coming at a very unique time where you can, I guess, comprehensively appreciate it, because it seemed like it was a pretty roller coaster 2022. I was seeing an interview you did recently with Severe MMA kind of talking about that, where it seemed like last year was almost a big career turning point in as far as like, okay, I've had a couple, you know, back-to-back defeats here, like I might even outright stop fighting, or it's either that or figure things out. Like, what was the, I guess, moment where you realized you were, I guess, figuring those things out? Because it seemed like a big like make or break kind of moment last year and everything like that. So like, was there a particular moment, like an epiphany type moment, where you did figure things out, or more of a gradual kind of thing?
I think last year was like such a blessing in disguise looking back now. When I was undefeated and I was 5-0 and fighting for Bellator, I spent every fight thinking about what was next. And even when I was winning and still undefeated, I didn't take time to like smell the roses. I just was thinking about what's next. When can I get to the UFC? When can I fight for a title? All of this kind of thing. So it was only when I actually lost two fights that I did stop and start to smell the roses, because I realized it wasn't so much fun when you weren't winning fights and not actually appreciating the wins when you got them. Well, you know, losses hit you even harder then. So I guess the big epiphany moment for me was, you know, walking out in November for that fight. I was on a two-fight losing streak, and I knew this was a big make-or-break moment for me, that I could now be, you know, after losing three fights in a row, or I could turn it all around with an amazing performance. And I just remember feeling no pressure that night and just thinking, if there's any time to enjoy it, you might as well enjoy it now, because, you know, my future was just so uncertain at that time. And by that, the uncertainty actually took all the pressure away. So, yeah, I think I really came into myself when I fought for Invicta in November. That night, I just felt so great. And after the fight, whether I had won or lost, I just really enjoyed it and I felt really good. So now getting a shot at the title after that performance, I'm finally ready to fight for a title. I'm not thinking about the next thing. I'm thinking about Valeska Machado and this world title on the 15th of March. That's all I'm focused on. And win, lose or draw, I'm going to give it my absolute all, and I'm going to have a smile on my face throughout and take it all in. And I think that's when I fight the best and I fight most dangerous, when I don't have any pressure and I enjoy myself.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, like, talking about, like, the fun aspect and taking it all in. It also seemed like in that interview I referenced earlier, you kind of, like, reconnected with more of that, like, you know, IMAF mentality, that, like, circa, you know, 2017 idea of it just being oriented to, like, the pure love of the sport and not as much, like, trying to appeal to this idea of, like, okay, well, I need to be a professional that people are wanting to talk about, was, I believe, like, how you phrased it. That must be just so liberating, because, like, you have had obviously a lot of growth in your technique, but to have that, like, you know, fun, positive mindset attached to it, I would think that you can very fluidly express that even more so now. Are you kind of noticing that too?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when you're an amateur, it's more carefree and more enjoyable, because there really isn't that much pressure. You're there to make mistakes. But when you turn pro, there's so much pressure on keep your O, and you're so focused on keeping your O, you forgot why you're doing it in the first place. You keep thinking about the UFC or world titles, and you forget about the fun and games that is in MMA fighting, like how exciting and why I got into it in the first place. The action, the violence, the high pressure, you know, decision making, that's the fun part. So yeah, I think now that I've forgotten about that, try to keep your old mentality, and I've gone back to my kind of amateur days, I definitely feel like I'm performing better. I'm performing better in the gym, I'm performing better in the cage, and, like, most importantly, I'm enjoying every single day. You know, whether you're 5-0 or not, if you're feeling really pressured and not happy, there's no point being 5-0. Like, I'd rather have those two losses on my career and wake up every morning knowing I have an opportunity to train in MMA and prepare for a world title fight and be happy about it.
Yeah, and I love, like, the insight into that, and I would think you'd be able to impart a lot of that with, like, what you're doing now with, like, being the head coach for the junior Irish MMA team. Like, how much do you get out of that? Like, I would think that would be a tremendously fulfilling thing for you to be able to impart the technique, but probably also something where you're even, like, having a deeper understanding of the techniques you already know by virtue of teaching it. So can you talk about that? Because that sounds like a cool thing you're doing with the coaching.
Yeah, like, I really love teaching kids. Like, it's probably my biggest passion in life, like, even more so than fighting. I used to be a pediatric physio, so I love children and I love working with children. And so when the opportunity came to work with the youths, so the under 18s, on the Irish team, I was so excited at the prospect of it. And you know, I give them advice, and I talk to them about, you know, feeling nervous and trying to perform and all of the things you talk to adults with, but they also teach me too. So kids don't feel as much stress or pressure as adults, and they seem to really enjoy it. So they reminded me last year about the fun part, and the fact that this is like an opportunity, not an obligation. We brought like 40 or 50 kids to Abu Dhabi last year from Team Ireland, and every one of them was just so thrilled to be able to get on a plane, travel to Abu Dhabi and compete. So yeah, that was a big wake-up call for me to take in the moment and enjoy yourself. Just watching them being so excited about going away and being able to compete. And it's very inspiring to watch 12-year-olds walk into a cage, submit people, put on stellar performances and come home with a gold medal. Like, it's very inspiring to think 12-year-olds are able to do that nowadays.
Yeah, no, even as you're talking about it, it's like just kind of a wild thing. Like, I've been watching MMA for a decent bit now, and to see like the proficiency of some of these, you know, young individuals nowadays, it's just kind of mind-blowing. Like, I imagine you're seeing a few individuals now, like, not asking you to name specific names obviously, but probably some people you're seeing where it's like, oh, they're gonna be making some waves in the next, like, you know, 6 to 10 years kind of thing. Like, are you seeing a bit of that with like the, you know, team now, where you're like, wow, like the proficiency of the technique here is just, you know, so far beyond what, you know, 12-year-olds when I was growing up were able to do, you know?
Yeah, like the stars stand out, like, you know, especially the gold medalists, they really do stand out. You know, you can see that they have huge future in the sport if they keep going. And then there's also others that aren't in the medals yet or aren't in the gold medals yet, but they just work so hard and they try so hard and they will listen to every single thing you're saying. You know, it's hard to know, are they the ones that are going to still be around in 10 or 15 years' time? I still think it's interesting to know in 10, 15 years, will it be these IMAF MMA kids that are going to be the new world champions, or will specialists still be UFC world champions? You know, like people that come from jiu-jitsu or come from Muay Thai, will they still be able to hang with these kids that are actually just doing MMA from the start? So, you know, I think in 10, 15 years' time, that my generation, we're going to, you know, be laughing, thinking, thank God we're not with fighting anymore, because these kids are killers. You know, it's a different level now, guys. We thought we were great, but I'm not so sure anymore. So, yeah, it's something to really look forward to. Like, the next generation are going to be insane.
Yeah, for sure. That's something that I enjoy even as like a layman observer watching the IMAF competition. But great to hear the depth of insight you have with like how immersed you are in it. But speaking of like, you know, excitement and, you know, vying for things and everything, like, it seems like you're in a good place in that sense too. Not that Bellator wasn't a good promotion. Like, it seemed like you had great feelings about that and had a good run. But I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, there's no, you know, strawweight title to vie for with the company, at least as of right now. So how much of a thing is that for you in Invicta, that like idea of that capstone achievement, like cementing yourself as, you know, a belt holder in a division and, you know, being regarded as among one of the best in the world with that belt as the representation? Like, is that capstone achievement like a big thing for you here?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you asked me 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, what were my goals? I only had one goal, and that was to become a UFC world champion. And I'm sure there's many people that listen to your show that's all they can think about. Many fighters, that all they can think about is becoming a UFC world champion. But I guess now, 8 years later, after starting the sport, I realized that a huge milestone would have been my medal at the IMAFs. Getting a silver medal at the IMAFs was a big achievement. And this Invicta world title is another huge milestone. And maybe getting into the UFC is a big milestone. Getting into the top 10 would be a big milestone. if I won a world championship belt for Bellator, that would have been another one. So I really see it clearly now that if I become an Invicta world champion, that's etched in stone forever, and I'm the first ever Irish woman to have done that. So that's like really exciting to think that that could become part of my legacy, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to achieve that. So it's really, really exciting to think about that and to think about the prospect of that happening.
Yeah, it would be a great individual accomplishment, but also interwoven into a great legacy with just like the SBG Ireland accomplishments overall. Like, I know you also train at Relentless Martial Arts as well, but it seems like you're very much a big part of that like SBG Ireland culture. Like, I was seeing Coach Kavanaugh shout you out on the MMA Hour a few weeks ago there. So can you kind of speak to that too, just like the kinship and like the strong collective at SBG Ireland and, you know, what that does for you as a competitor too?
Yeah, like I guess one of the biggest stories I have to say about John is that when I walked into SBG, I only had a year of martial arts experience under my belt, and 4 months into being there and doing beginner classes, John's now wife seen me doing classes and asked me, did I want to try out for the team? And from that first night I tried out for the team in front of John, you know, John really believed in me and told me that I think we could have some great nights together in the future. You know, with some great achievements in fighting. And he's always believed in me long before I had any skills other than my main skill was that I would just go hard and always try my best. And he really did believe in me. So that was 8 years ago when that happened. And I'm just so grateful now that I have an opportunity to give something back and get my name up on the wall. As you walk into reception, all the accomplishments are up on the wall, and I'd love to get my name up there to become the first Invicta World Champion for Ireland and for SBG, obviously. So, I'm very, very grateful for SBG, for initially Connor being a huge motivator for me to even do MMA, and then John and SBG, you know, taking that motivation and that goal and actually making it a reality for me. So yeah, I would love to be able to give back and get that title for SBG.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that would be incredible, and yeah, well positioned to do so, being in this title fight and everything. I'm kind of curious though, because I feel like when I talk to fighters, like in the tape study context, like generally what they do is like they'll watch like the last like couple fights, like maybe even two or three fights. But Machado is in kind of an interesting position, in as far as she was in that, you know, tournament structure. And from that severe MMA interview I was watching you did, you almost characterized the performances as like they were kind of like fighting knowing they had a second fight almost. So in that kind of context, like, have you been kind of looking at these, you know, last two fights as a big part of your tape study, or maybe not so much because maybe her methodology is different, like factoring in she's having two fights as opposed to one? Like, have you been like studying those last two fights as much, or maybe not so much?
Yeah, like at the start of camp, we watched probably 6 or 7 of her fights. And then we put them, you know, we put them away and we focused on me. We've watched her fight southpaws, because I'm a southpaw. So that's, I suppose, one of the most important fights to watch is what she does against a southpaw. We watched the last two fights because that was her most recent appearances. So that's kind of the most likely version we're going to see what she did in those fights. So they were definitely useful. But no more than myself, she's never fought 5 rounds before, because to get the title, it was 2 3-minute fights. So, you know, 5 rounds for her is alien to her as well as it is to me. And there's no tape to watch back of her or me doing 5 rounds. So regardless what the videos on YouTube are showing, there is going to be nothing like this fight to really tell what both of us are like when it comes down to a 25-minute fight. It's going to look very different, I think.
And that's kind of interesting, just you talking about the 5-round dynamics for both of you and whatnot. And that kind of gets me thinking about the cardio component and just noticing this one is going to be, you know, overseen by the Colorado Combative Sports Commission. Like, are you thinking about that in a certain sense? Are you looking to maybe get out there a touch early to, you know, acclimate yourself to the higher altitude? Is there something you're doing in your training that's even more considerate of the, I guess, different cardio dynamics that might be here? Like, what are your thoughts on, I guess, the high altitude in the context of, you know, going five rounds, like you were saying?
Yeah, like, I'm an ultimate professional, and I knew about the high altitude when I fought there last November. And I got a tent, I got a machine, I rented an altitude machine and a tent for the bed, and a mask to run in. So I did 4 weeks of high altitude training before November, and I fought very well that night, and I didn't feel the altitude at all. It really didn't affect me. So this camp, we had a bit more of a heads up, and I got the machine 8 weeks out. So we're doing what the science says, sleeping in the bed. I'm doing some training sessions with the mask on, and I'm doing everything that I possibly can to help this fight. There's no point arriving out a week or two early. You're not going to adapt. You need a minimum of 4 weeks. I don't think people realise that. They might adapt to the time difference, but they won't adapt to the altitude. That has to be done over a minimum of 4 weeks. So I'm well prepared for that. I suppose a huge part of cardio and fitness and altitude and all that you can do all the training, all the preparation you want in the world, but it's the person that's going to stay the most relaxed for the 25 minutes and keep their heart rate down and not let the moment get to them. I think that's going to perform the greatest. So even with all this training I'm doing and preparation, and I'm one of the fittest fighters I know, I'm cardio is never a problem. My opponents are always exhausted facing me. I know that mentally I need to be 100% calm and relaxed and in control in the fight to make sure that none of that becomes overwhelming.
Yeah, it seems like a very strong fight IQ you have there. I love the depth of insight that you're given me, for sure. So, you know, thank you for that. But I guess, like, one of the last kind of, like, parting questions that I had here, so we were talking about the tape study earlier on your opponent, and it seems like their well-traveled, like, Shooto Brazil experience obviously cemented themselves as a champion within Invicta. Like, in terms of, I guess, the X's and O's of what she does well in the cage, like, what would you say some of Valeska Machado's better stylistic attributes would be?
Yeah, she's a good counter-striker. She likes being on the back foot and luring you on to getting hit with big right hands. So, you know, that's her main attribute is her striking style, a counter-striking style. She's also good at winning fights on points. So she's good at, you know, pulling out the rounds, even though she doesn't do a huge amount during the rounds. She always manages to score enough to keep herself ahead. So she's good at winning and she's good at counter-striking. Very, very different to the kind of fighter I am. I like making things happen. I'm aggressive. I hit very hard and I do a lot of wrestling, a lot of grappling in my fights. And I put the pedal down at the start and I don't pick it up until the fight is over. So this is really an opposites game here. She's going to be trying to slow the pace down and keep me at a distance and win on points. And I'm going to be trying to push the pace and push the fight. So that I think it makes for a real exciting fight. And, you know, she's a very skilled fighter and so am I. So let's just see what happens after 25 minutes of opposites.
Yeah, very accurate, this being an exciting fight. And I mean, talking to you, getting me even more excited about it. But I do want to be mindful of your time and cognizant of your schedule as well, Danny. So to that point, is there maybe any like final parting thought you might want to kind of add as we're wrapping up here?
Just like a huge thanks to Dave, my manager, best manager in the business from Paradigm, and to my coaches and teammates and all my sponsors that have helped me get this far. I'm extremely grateful for the team of people I have behind me and who, you know, never lost faith in me, even when times were tough. And that anyone that's listening to this, make sure to tune in on the 15th of March to Invicta, to be streamed live on YouTube. And, you know, watch Ireland versus Brazil. Thankfully not in a soccer match, in an MMA fight, and see who who's going to come out the champ. And I'm really confident and I feel really positive that I have a real chance of getting this belt and bringing it home to Mullingar in Ireland. So that's all I have to say.
Well, I mean, you have a great mind for the game, obviously, from just even this conversation with you. And yeah, like I said before, was excited about this fight beforehand, but even more so now. So thanks for that. And just, yeah, looking forward to, you know, checking out this fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Danny.
Thanks so much. And I appreciate your time. I really do. Thank you.